CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Wednesday. CliffCentral.com. What's happening? We're live. We're well. We've got Damon Kelvary with us this morning. Hey, Damon.
We're up and about.
What did you say?
We are well.
Yeah, good. I'm pleased. And C.S. Sangweni's here too. It's good.
Yes, I R E R.
All right, very nice.
Have you guys ever discussed this before? Stop me if you have.
Have you got a hiccup there going on?
No.
I thought I heard you hiccuping. Sorry.
Oh, no. Hi, your routine. Do you guys shower, have breakfast before all of this? Because since the lockdown, your life has changed. We haven't.
I mean, I'm always happy to go into these stupid little details.
Because I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, and you guys look like. I'm not sure if it's pajamas or not. It could be 50-50. Because I'll admit now that this is pajamas.
I thought I was waiting for a compliment there. I thought Damon was going to say, because you guys look so good, but.
No. It's not an insult.
Okay, well. I'm not wearing pajamas. This is a hoodie. And I do have a shower, and this morning I did that.
Is it necessary?
I have a shower and I brush my teeth. Well, you see, the problem is, like, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, then after the show I have to do it, and I don't see the point of worse, it's like you're going halfway anyway. I may as well brush my teeth and shower. And all of that stuff. And then straight after the show, I can start my day as opposed to having to, you know, go and do it all once the show's finished. And also, you just feel like you're clean and fresh and ready to start. I don't like starting the day half-assed.
I start with a bath.
Full on bath. You fill up the bath. You cleanse the bath.
He is very famous for his baths. He has long baths, right? Don't you have like foam bath and you lie?
Well,
there
not
for
like
a while and...
not at 5:20 when I have to just get up, get things going.
So how long is this bath?
10-15 minutes.
Huh.
Wow, eh? So you sit there and relax. It's not just a washing session. It's like therapeutic. It's your introduction to the day.
No, you need to wake up sensibly.
So your geezers are on the whole night, you guys. Because my geezers are off. I switch my geezers off. My geezers only on 4 or 5 hours a day.
Do you have a switch on them, or do you manually go and switch it off?
I'm the manual. I'm the guy.
Okay. And you've never forgotten?
It's happened. Yeah, I have forgotten.
I'm worried about forgetting. So what I've done, and I spoke about this on the show the other day, I got the electrician to come in, and he fitted a timer on. So now it only goes on in the morning and in the evening for like a couple of hours. And it saved me, I suppose, a lot of electricity, even though my bill last month was exactly the same.
No, because you're probably putting on heaters. You're probably using heaters.
No, so what I've got to do, I don't trust the people who do the readings. So I'm actually going to connect a little machine, which I've ordered, which will monitor my electricity usage. And then I can figure out.
Wow, you're taking this very seriously.
Oh, hell yeah. I don't trust anybody when it comes to
But also, Gareth, you live in almost like a complex type of situation.
Yeah.
Does it go through somebody corporate or some collective beforehand?
Well, yeah,
You don't really know, eh?
They read the meter and then they give us a reading. And if they ask them, they'll show you what it is. But I think a lot of it is thumb sucking. So I don't trust them, and I'm not going to start monitoring myself.
People are sucking, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and also, I don't know about you guys, but my rates and taxes are pretty damn high, and for the last 4 months, I haven't received a rates and taxes bill, so I don't know how much I owe. So I've just been paying, hoping I'm not in huge debt. So I could get a bill for like $20,000 at the end of this year, suddenly out of the blue, and that's going to hit me hard. So I don't know. There's so much we pay for that you get nothing for. It just feels all of these things are like stealth taxes. You know,
Or a lot that you pay for that you aren't aware of.
Yeah. And it's like the government. This government is such a den of thieves. And I saw, Damon, that you're very depressed about all this corruption that you see with the people.
Yeah, I'm just finished. I mean, the thing is, you can only take so much.
Yeah.
I mean, first it was the arms deal.
Right.
So I thought, okay, I can handle this.
Yeah.
You know, big ships in Simonstown.
Someone gets a kickback. You're like, expect.
Then what happened after the arms deal? There was. Was the Gupta, or was there something before Gupta?
Well, there was that whole thing with Shabir Sheikh and Jacob
Zuma.
Yes.
Then there was state capture. Then there was, and I thought, okay, but now this. And then when the COVID, when they started collecting money, solidarity fund, people joked, or there were people that were cynical that said,
Damon,
it's all going to be stolen. Mm-hmm. And I thought, no, come on, you've been cynical. And it actually happened. It actually happened.
Well, I saw a lot of
and
people.
I'm just,
I saw a lot of. Lot
I'm
of
just finished. I'm just finished.
Yeah, there were so many of these really good people who were raising money for the Solidarity Fund because they wanted to do something for the country when we were in this trouble with the coronavirus and everything. And I've watched how they went from like, yes, Cyril, we'll support you in March to fuck you, Cyril, you thief, in August. These are soft, gentle people who wanted to do whatever they could to raise money for the Solidarity Fund. And now that money's been I mean, it's all gone, you know. Ace Magashule's children.
Everybody's children. Everyone's cousin, uncle, wife, husband.
Someone has a finger.
Nephew.
Yeah.
I mean,
This is why I believe that you have got to sit down with your accountant, and if you're your own accountant, then you need to sit down with yourself and figure out from top to bottom all the places that you can get tax money back. And you should pay this government an absolute minimum. And I'm talking about, obviously you don't want to break the law because they will arrest you. You know, they'll put you in jail if you try to avoid
tax.
But if you try to evade tax, but if you avoid tax, you know, there's a very fine line. And there are things that you can claim as expenses, which are totally legitimate. And there are things that you should remove yourself from the cash economy. And I mean, the official electronic economy in any way you possibly can. In other words, where you can pay for things in cash, where you can barter goods. In other words, there's no tax between you and the person you're buying from. Do it. If you're trading with friends and family, use apps like Troy Gold and Luno and Revix and those kinds of things.
So you're very serious about this. That's the second time you've
been. I'm so fucking serious about this. It's actually very easy. And if you don't do this, what you are is you're an accessory to crime. Think about it that way. I mean, I'm not a lawbreaker.
Jeez.
But if you are aiding and abetting a criminal government to steal money from poor people, which is what they're doing, because there's no one rich.
Sure.
There's no one rich left in this country except the ANC and their cadres. The rest of us have all been reduced to poverty by this coronavirus and unemployment and all the shit. So there is no one with money. So in other words, if you're on the side of tax, you're on the side of theft. And if you believe that this government are the good guys after all that you've seen in the news this year, you're not only on the side of theft, but you're a really, really stupid person. So we've all got to do what we can.
Okay, but take out your crystal ball or balls. Take out the balls.
I've got my balls, yes.
You've got your balls.
Okay.
Yes. Let's try and be positive. What is happening? What's going to happen? Where are we going to be in 2 years' time or a year's time?
Well, the only upshot here is that the whole world is in a bit of trouble. So it's not just us. That's number one. Number two is where in the world would any of us, not just Damon Sia Gareth, but anybody else in South Africa, you listen to us every morning, where else would you go that you'd have a better chance? The answer is nowhere.
You asked me 4 or 5 weeks ago, Damon, would you want to go? I can't remember your exact wording, but you wanted me to rank America in terms of what I want to live in America. And I said, absolutely not. And then you looked a bit surprised. And what has changed?
Well, I know I still think that America is in huge trouble, but I don't think it's the worst country in the world. Like, I'm very, You know, people have no context, so they'll go, oh, I would hate to live in America. And you say to them, well, would you prefer North Korea, Afghanistan, Iran?
Oh, great comparisons there.
And then suddenly they're like, oh, no, actually, I think
No, what I was, I hear you, and I agree with you there. I can't argue with you.
Mean, where would you like to go? Venezuela, Zimbabwe?
No, I can't argue with you. I was just trying to say the other day that it's just America is not the America growing up as a child, listen, thinking it was this perfect country. That's all.
Yeah. Let me be clear about this. I'm not and I can't believe we're talking about corruption so early in the morning. I prefer talking about having a shower and, you know, and a piss. And
I had these visions of Sia lying in the bath with these bubbles and his little ducky. And I wanted to just move away from that.
No, I don't have a ducky.
But here's the thing. I'm not at all patriotic anymore. There's not a single cell in my body that is patriotic about being South African. And I have lots of reason to be. You know, I study the history of this country. I have family who were intimately involved in establishing this country in various ways, shapes, and forms. So I should be patriotic. There are generations and generations of my family buried in this soil. And many of them have sacrificed their lives for this country. And I know that if I believe my ancestors had powers, like so many people in this country do, I would be in shit for saying what I'm about to say. But I don't give a damn. The only reason I'm here is because I was born here. I believe that that is an accident of fate. It's just because my parents happen to have sex in this country, and therefore I was born 9 months later in it. It's got nothing to do with my personality or identity. If I've never supported South African sports, I don't care about that, really. I'm not someone who cares about the anthem. We've got this cobbled together stupid anthem anyway. I don't care about the flag. I don't care about the politicians. I think.
But you weren't always like this.
No, I wasn't. I used to be quite the opposite.
And when did it all change?
It all changed when I realized how we were all actually just being taken advantage of, all of us. White and black, rich and poor, old and young. We're all just being taken advantage of by a criminal syndicate called the ANC. And
Gareth, correct me where I'm wrong here, but I don't think you're trying to say you don't care at all about the country. What I think you're trying to say is all of these fleeting feelings are less than just the dire impact of the leadership right now.
No, I actually see, I mean what I say. I don't care about the country. I want to be very clear about that. I would rather be a global citizen, and I've said this before, and I know this is an unpopular point of view, but for whatever it's worth, I'm here. So the reality, the pragmatic me, is saying, well, this is my best place to make a living.
I'm just going to do the
best I can here because this is the place I understand the best. So if I'm going to make money and have a life, the best life I can have just is here, whether I like it or not.
But I've
got lots of friends who've moved overseas, who've got new lives in various parts of the world. In fact, I have so few of my original best friends from school and university left in the country, I can count them on one hand. So I'm really one of the few people who's decided to stay here. And they keep telling me what an idiot I am. So I think they might have been right. I'm ready to acknowledge now that they might have been right. But so what? Where am I going to go?
No, but hang on. You can't think – just for your own selfish reasons, you can't want the whole country to slide into disarray.
No, absolutely, I don't.
Because then you're going to be in shit.
No, I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to do whatever I can, but it's not because of patriotism.
Okay.
It's pure self-preservation and the fact that my family and a lot of my friends are here and my business is here and our community of listeners is here. I care about that. I just don't care about all that, you know, South Africa First stuff and Rainbow Nation stuff and Cyril's Tumamina. I don't care about that.
So you're saying if PJ Powers were to sing World and Union right now.
I feel nothing.
Oh, Tandek.
Now, I know that's going to piss some people off because I've always been you know, very vocally supportive of this country and blah, blah, blah.
So when Brad Binder, I think that's his name, won the MotoGP, you didn't care.
I don't even know who that is. Someone had to tell me who he is.
No, I had to look him up as well.
But I
had to Google him.
You know what? So what? I mean, that stuff's not important. I mean, if Namibia said to me, come and work here, we'll open bank account for you. You can pay us tax instead of the South African government. And we'll charge you like 20% instead of the South African government's 45%. I'd say sure. I'll move there tomorrow. I don't care. Huh. I mean, what's, you know, I could still come to South Africa as much as I wanted to. And don't get me wrong.
So that's what matters to you.
I think we've been taken for fools. I think the people of this country have been so abused by first the National Party government for all those years when I was just a kid. And we didn't realize how we were being screwed and how it wasn't just about apartheid. There was so much other shit that was going on that was socialist in nature under the old National Party regime. They were socialists. They learned most of their tricks from national socialist movements. And after that, the ANC, who have always told us very clearly what they are, if you look at their documents on the National Democratic Revolution. But there were people like me who thought, you know what? It's worth going along with these guys because they believe in democracy. That's important. They believe supposedly in freedom of speech and press freedom, which they more or less have had. I mean, we couldn't talk like this if they didn't, right, on this show.
We mustn't forget that.
There's a limited window left because they're busy with this Film and Publications Act, which we should all be very frightened of because they're going to try and control the internet. I mean, I don't believe they can because the ANC is so incompetent. This government are such clumsy fools that they can't even control parastatals, which are completely under their control.
Well, recently in the Belarus elections, they switched off the internet. So mm-hmm. So who's to say it can't happen? Yeah?
That's what I'm a little bit worried about. But
how do you switch off the internet?
You basically, these guys would go to the networks with a gun to their head and say, if you don't switch off your service provision, that's what they would do. They're like gangsters, like mobsters. And then Vodacom, MTN, Cell C, Telkom, they'd all just switch off and we'd be left high and dry. I mean, they could do that. I don't want to – look, why do we talk about this stuff first thing in the morning?
I'm sorry.
Why did you bring this up, Damon?
This is why I only get invited once every 5 weeks, man, not that I'm counting.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Look at what I'm doing. I'm following your mother, Naomi Calvary's advice with a lemon and hot water every morning.
No, I wanted to tell you the other day that you got it all wrong. That's not what my mother does. That's what you do when you're sitting on the beach in Mauritius looking at the oil in the water. My mother takes boiling water and she squishes the lemon. And then she doesn't leave the lemon in the glass. She squishes the lemon.
I've been doing the same since we started as well, when you told us this. Since when was it? March?
Look, as long as you're doing the squishing and then if you put the lemon in the water, I suppose Naomi wouldn't mind.
Damn it, I feel duped now. This is not
fair. But she is, I mean, I was talking to her right at the beginning of this coronavirus, and I swear to God, she said to me, you know how you avoid this coronavirus? I always have my hot water with a squish of lemon juice. And I still think she still thinks that's what's saving her. So it's not the lockdown where they won't let her out of her room. They will not let her out of her room.
Oh, really? She's not even allowed to walk around the old age home?
I just spoke to her a few days ago, and they only just let them out.
But that's like that sounds like a prison. And look, I know that old people are particularly vulnerable for this thing, but they would be vulnerable to the flu. They'd be vulnerable to TB. They'd be vulnerable to all diseases that have.
The thing is, they don't know what's going on. We're in the dark. We don't know enough about this virus, so they're not taking any chances, I suppose.
Do you know what the average age of death in America from COVID is? Average.
I'm gonna guess 63.575.
No,
I was
80.
Oh.
80, which means half the people who have died are over the age of 80.
Yes, but Gareth, the thing is...
Think about that for a second. Now, if you have a disease that is taking out people who are in the twilight of their lives anyway, I mean, 80 is not young, but it's you know, 80 is substantial.
You've been around the block.
Yeah. And if that's the average age of the deaths, that means half of the people who died of coronavirus are over the age of 80.
But the thing is, Gareth, you're falling into this thing again where you're just looking at numbers, right? You've got to take feelings into consideration.
No, you don't. That's why people are so stupid these days.
Gareth, one day you're going to be 80 and you're going to think, whoa, what am I doing? What's my next project? Hey?
One day.
And if somebody turns around, one of your nieces or nephews or one of your children, whatever, and says, no, you know what, Uncle Gareth, you've had a good life. Cheers. You will throw your toys.
Hold on. No one except Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who actually forced old people out into the world and then back into their nursing homes, which is exactly what he did, which is why New York still has, I think it's the second or the third highest rate of deaths in the whole of the United States, right?
Well, it's also densely populated.
No, this has got to do with old people. I promise you, go and look. Again, you say don't look at the numbers. I think the only thing you should look at in a situation like this is the numbers.
No, because I didn't say don't only look at the numbers. I said don't only look at the numbers.
All right.
You didn't also say don't look at the numbers.
Also use a bit of EQ, a bit of human compassion.
You do that.
I know I'm using very foreign words.
You use those stupid ideas. Numbers tell me a whole lot more. Your feelings, please. Anyway, the fact is, aside from Andrew Cuomo, who willingly sent old people back into nursing homes once they'd been exposed to COVID, which is precisely what happened, and not just according to the numbers, there is ample evidence to show that that is what happened in the state of New York. You know, the guy who's been giving these rock star press conferences
I'm well aware of him.
Who is positioning himself as like the hero of New York.
Well, yeah, and him and his brother think that they're Albert and Costello or whatever.
Correct.
Laurel and Hardy.
Now, apart from him, nobody's going around threatening old people with COVID.
Can I bring this back to like normal feelings and stuff? Look at how many people you've read about or know about that have died that would never have died otherwise. There's that famous professor of cardiology, Dr. Pepe, or Professor Pepe, who just passed away. I didn't know that person.
Who the fuck is that?
Yes, but he was a very well.
Is it a him or a her? I didn't even know if it's a him or a her. Don't talk shit.
That's not the point.
Name the people you know who've died of COVID. Come on.
Gareth.
I personally don't know any. I'm not saying they aren't dying, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's not tragic. But I personally, sorry, I don't know anyone who's died of COVID. I just don't. I'm not going to lie to you.
Do you think that would change your outlook if you did?
I don't think so. Because
now and again, there are news stories of people that have died of COVID that would not have died if they didn't get COVID. That's all.
And they were
40 years old, 50 years old, etc.
And every day there's stories about people who get shot in Chicago that I don't know. And every day there are stories about farm murders. And every day there are stories about people who get killed in the townships. Don't pretend suddenly that this is a bigger deal than any of those things. It isn't. And it would be vicious and cruel of anyone to say this human life is more tragic
What you just said is disinformation, which is far more vicious and cruel than all the things that you just said.
How so, Damon? Tell me how.
Gareth, you can't just make shit up.
I didn't make shit up.
Gareth, you just compared gun violence.
Let me tell you something.
To COVID-19.
But that's exactly my point, Damon, is that people are dying all the time. Now, I don't want to be cavalier about this because I realize that every death is someone's family, right? Someone's father, mother, uncle, aunt, sister, brother, whatever it is. I'm not making light of this, but people die. And I'm sorry, but the number of people who die, I think it's like 127 in this country of TB every day or somewhere around that. Now, if that number's half, let's say it's, 60, Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's say 60 people a day die of TB. That's more than the number of people who've died in South Africa on any one day from COVID. And we're not making a fuss of that. And that, it's still a death. Now, we didn't have COVID a year ago, so this is a new way for people to die. But people are dying in different ways and have been, and this is what happens. You talk about how, I mean, we were going on yesterday because I was very upset about Bob Mabena's death, and that was a heart attack. And, you know, this year we've lost a lot of famous people, a lot of people who we do know or who we know of, and that's just as tragic. But it seems like this gets a special category. You know, I had Elna McIntosh on my show the other day, on the TV show, and she was saying COVID is this golden boy that gets treated like, you know, when she got diagnosed with COVID, the Department of Health phoned her every second day, and she got these people who came around with tests, and, you know, they offered to put her up in a hotel where she would be quarantined. Now, that doesn't happen to people who just get TB, or people who used to get the flu, or people who in this country have AIDS. It doesn't happen to them. They don't get treated specially. But you get treated specially if you have COVID, and you get written up into the government statistics. And it's just, it's been treated very differently. And I'm telling you, it's just another disease like all the others. Doesn't deserve special treatment. And I don't know anyone who's died. In my personal circle, it may still happen. I hope it doesn't, obviously. And we must take it seriously, which is why I'm doing the show from home this morning. And we have been for 5 months, but don't tell me it's that special.
Well, you've just admitted that it's special. You're doing your show from your house, so it is special.
Damon, we were told that it was illegal to break lockdown rules. I didn't do this because I thought it was a great idea. And oh yes, I'm excited to do it at home. I'm trying to make the best of a bad situation here. I have to wear a mask every time I go out. So do you. That's not because you want to.
But so then, Garrett, so all the scientists, the people that have studied epidemiology for 8, 10, 12 years, they're all a bunch of idiots.
There's such disagreement between all of them. And yes, you know why they're idiots? Because they're not epidemiologists who specialize in COVID. You know why? Because it's a brand new disease. They know as much as each other, which means that they don't know a lot. Because as you said at the start of this conversation, not a lot of people have discovered a lot about this disease in the 5 months that it's been around, 6 months. That's the truth. There's no medical paper. No one has written a doctoral thesis on COVID.
I'm sorry, Gareth. You can't be an expert on everything. You're not qualified to make all these statements.
You're not qualified. I read as much as anybody who says they are at the moment.
No, it's one thing to read,
Damon, as any other doctor.
No, Gareth, there's a huge difference between being a thorough reader like you are, then actually studying and doing exams and qualifying as an epidemiologist or a doctor. You don't. I'm sorry to say this, Gareth. You don't know what you're talking about.
I've studied.
I've studied epidemiology.
Okay,
at least.
Show me which person really does and who you trust. The point is we can talk about them because obviously, Gareth, I'm not a doctor.
There are basic principles in epidemiology. What they refer to as airborne diseases. Where it's where you sneeze or you cough and you're in your saliva or your mucus goes in the air. That is a basic thing that has been around for many, many, many decades. The principles of transmission of airborne diseases. And that's what the doctors and the experts are going on at the moment. And it's as simple as that. When I said to you that we still have to learn more about COVID, I wasn't talking about transmission. Although transmission could come into it slightly. It's all about the actual pathology and how the disease behaves.
And I'm telling you, you can have no symptoms.
You can have no symptoms and then just suddenly die of a pulmonary embolism, a lung trust, and it could have been COVID, for example.
Well,
you can just have terrible diarrhea and that's all, nothing else.
I don't like this argument from authority that you're making here, because it sounds to me like you're just assuming that there are experts who've done an incredible amount of research on this. There aren't. There just aren't, because we haven't had enough time.
You yourself admitted
we don't know enough about this disease.
Exactly. So you can't make these dogmatic statements that COVID is just another disease. That's ridiculous.
It is. I mean, by definition, it's another disease.
No, it's not a normal disease. It's something that's unique. Okay. It's something unique.
So
it's
all more virulent. It's more contagious.
It's more virulent. The symptoms are more aggressive than others.
Same death rate as the flu.
Nonsense. That's not true, Gareth.
Same death rate.
That's not true, Gareth. You're just making that up.
Show me.
That is not true. That is not true. And you're just making shit up.
All right. Here, this is quite right. I'm going to read this comment from Guy. He says, this conversation is getting boring. Move on. I agree.
What a guy.
Carol says, Damon, we are all COVID experts. Admit no one knows this virus. What's Bill Gates' claim to be an expert? He's not an epidemiologist either. He's on the news every day talking about it. My God, Gareth, he's pumping money into research, and whatever. That makes him an expert. Cucho says, my God, Gareth, why do you even bother with Damon? The guy's a fucking idiot. He really is. And it's clear from the stuff he's saying, pretty much everything about COVID is still an assumption, even transmission. New info coming to light every day. So much of what we thought was true is being proven wrong. I think Damon should start his day with a bubble bath and lemon squished water as well. Having a cold geezer is clearly affecting him.
I can't fit into my bath, the truth be told.
What?
You can't fit into your bath?
I cannot fit into my bath.
Are you being for real?
It's too narrow. It's not a good bath.
Fatima says, please invite Damon once every 5 years.
No.
If we're all still alive.
Gareth, switch Damon off. I totally agree with you. He's talking such shit like all the scared people in this country. Okay, well, let's stop beating up on Damon. We've got actual headlines to get to. There is some news in the world. You want some of it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do we know it's true?
This is not fake news. This is from EWN. Do you believe them?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they manufacture stuff, to be honest. Yeah. You've got to keep an open mind. Don't take every word that they say.
All right, well, okay. here's a story that doesn't really have an angle. I'd like to know what your angle on this is. Former Finance Minister Des Van Rooyen, remember him?
He was the finance minister for 2 days or something.
Someone went and asked him his opinion on allegations of state capture and corruption. He says all those claims against him are false and they were made up by Tuli Madonsela, white-owned media, and white monopoly capital.
Okay, straight away I'll take that with a pinch of salt. Right. Let's see what happens.
He's just a useless sack of shit. Let's just move right on. There's no reason to take that. Well, I mean, useless sack of shit.
Maybe that's a bit heavy.
That man has no locus standi of any significance.
My biggest concern at the moment is this Shamila Batoy.
Yeah.
She's been in charge of the NPA for how long? 5 years?
Two and a half.
Nobody has been prosecuted. Nobody has been sent to jail in government.
Well, here's a story about her. The National Prosecuting Authority has received a cash injection for the establishment of an office where the public can lodge complaints. The Germans have had to donate money. Germany donated 10 million rand to the NPA. Members of the public will be able to file complaints against staff, including prosecutors. NPA head Shamila Batoy said law enforcement must be better equipped to fight the battle against corruption. The structure will be in Batoy's office with technical assistance from the Institute for Security Studies. You know what? It's embarrassing that Germany has had to donate to a Chapter 11 institution in order to help them do their jobs. We're paying millions, if not billions, for security for our ministers.
Maybe Germany are seeing it as like a tax cut-off, maybe? How does a government get a tax write-off?
I was saying it with tongue-in-cheek.
I'm trying to come up with some kind of theory. Why would they throw this money down the well? It's down the drain?
Just here's someone else that we're indebted to now.
Paleontologists at the University of Southampton believe four bones found in England in the Isle of Wight belong to a new species of theropod dinosaur. That's interesting.
I believe that story.
It lived in the Cretaceous period 115 million years ago, and it's estimated to have been up to 4 meters long. So it's not a very big dinosaur, this. It's been called Victaerovenator.
Oh.
Victaerovenator, and belongs to a group of dinosaurs that includes Tyrannosaurus rex and has descendants in modern-day birds.
Ah, like the hardy dog.
Yeah. So that's quite interesting. They found these four bones.
Sounds like a credible story.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Because there was no money involved.
Yes, that's a good story. And while we're in Britain, they have pressed France to halt unacceptable migrant crossings. You know what happens is that people hop on a boat in France and then they go across to England and then they expect refugee status there. So Immigration Minister Chris Philip met French officials in Paris as concern grows in London over the numbers of migrants entering British waters from France.
Hang on. These migrants, how did they get – are these people that they came from Northern Africa or Syria?
Yeah.
And they landed up in France?
Correct. And then they decided, no, France isn't good enough because they don't give enough free stuff to their people. So we'll go to England where they do more of that.
Well, that's clever. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So just start that again. Repeat that again. France – sorry, England have said France, stop sending
it. No, they've said – they must intensify efforts in France to halt the completely unacceptable numbers of migrants crossing the English Channel in unseaworthy small boats.
Oh, so they've got to just get out of boats?
Yeah, but these people have already got across the Mediterranean in those boats. So they know how to use shitty little boats.
I think the Mediterranean is more gentle than the English Channel. I mean, I'm just guessing.
Eh, it depends on the weather. Like anywhere.
Sure. Well, people swim across the English Channel, so I suppose, maybe it's not so choppy.
Yeah. And then a dude was shot. Well, a guy was trying to shoot outside the White House.
And the Secret Service
took him down, yeah.
Old Trump was so blasé about it. They interviewed Trump. What happened? Why did you run away? Well, some man got shot. And he was quite blasé.
Yeah. Well, he's...
I told you yesterday that it was all unsettling to me when we covered it briefly as it was breaking. So after the show, I went down the whole rabbit hole of finding out about the Secret Service and how could they let this happen. And I started looking at the timeline of incidences of the Secret Service messing up over the past couple of years. Uh-huh. Remember there was that like scorned ex-military guy who made his way. He jumped over the White House fence and ran across the lawn.
Yeah.
This is like the house of the highest.
House of cards.
Shouldn't be.
No, that stuff happens. You don't know. Some lunatic. You know, it's amazing how if you wanted to, you could get really close to a president in this country or any other. If you were crazy enough and you planned it well enough. I mean, you remember there were a couple of incidents throughout history of very close calls, like Ronald Reagan got shot by this guy who was like in love with Jodie Foster. You remember?
John Hinckley.
Yes. John Hinckley.
You know, he was released about 2 or 3 years ago, eh?
Yeah, he was a raving lunatic. But this dude, let me tell you the story. So this 51-year-old guy approached a Secret Service officer standing at the corner of 17th and Pennsylvania, which is one block from the White House. Okay, so he wasn't in the White House grounds, first of all. And the suspect told the officer he had a weapon, and he ran aggressively towards him, drawing an object out of his clothes.
Oi.
He then assumed a shooter's stance as if he was intending to fire, whereupon the Secret Service officer shot him in the torso. So first of all, well done to the Secret Service officer for taking this guy out before he could do anything. And the president was speaking to reporters in the White House at the time, and then a Secret Service bodyguard came up to the president and said, "Sir, could you please come with me?" Trump and staff members left. Doors to the briefing room were locked. Minutes later, he reappeared and said that someone had been shot by Secret Service outside the White House.
So, one of the reporters asked Trump, "Did you go down to the bunker?"
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's a bit of a slight dig because it wasn't time for him to have gone. You know, from the time he was gone and the time he came back, he couldn't have gone to the bunker. So Trump just like politely said, no, I just went to the Oval Office.
But whether conscious or not, President Trump's response was spot on, in my opinion, because the last thing you want in any sort of leader, you don't want them shaken or nervous or whatnot.
Yeah, he wasn't panicking.
He shrugs it off. Right. Yeah, doesn't make it a big deal, and he continues on with his day. But
it's not like he ran across to a church holding his Bible. I think he learned his lesson.
But Gareth, you mentioned President Reagan, and also my bit of a rabbit hole. I was looking at that assassination attempt and discovered the Secret Service agent, Mr. Tim McCarthy, who took the bullets for President Reagan. And the way in which he discussed that incident and just overall the process that Secret Service have to undergo to prepare to be in that role is a little crazy. He says the first bullet hit him on his side, so the shoulder area, and his instinct instantly told him to face the bullets and make himself larger to prepare for all of the other bullets. Yeah. I mean, right now, you and I, your instinct would be like, run away as well.
Yes, but Reagan still took 5 bullets.
Yeah,
Reagan was shot 5 times.
He did get shot, yeah.
He was shot because 5 times.
And he was an old man already.
He still made a joke. As he was about to go to the operating theater, he said, I hope you're all Republicans, to the doctors.
Oh, sure. Well, according to this Tim McCarthy, he says he's still very disappointed in the way he conducted things because he still missed 1 bullet. I'm like, dude, you were shot as well. Like,
well, another guy got shot in the head. He's disabled for life.
I want to talk quickly because I know Damon is a bit of a radio nerd. I know you were upset about Bob Mabena's death.
I never worked with Bob Mabena. He was always in the building or in the same room as me, but I never ever, I don't think ever had a conversation with him. My only memory of him, which is so obscure and ridiculous, but it's the one, but my only real like story I have to tell, we went away on a team build with 94.7. We went to like some game farm. Yeah. And we had this lovely braai. There was everything you can think of: boerewors, chops, steaks, everything. And I just remember Bob sitting there, lifting his nose. Ah, I can't eat this. Where's the hymns book? Where's the game? He wanted your fancy exotic meats. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, what the fuck is this guy on about? I was like only so happy with what there was. I thought to myself, gee, this guy must have the life.
So it's so magic that the only memory you have is about food.
It's so ridiculous.
When I die one day, Damon will be asked for a comment and he'll say, well, there was this one time that I got the meat sweats while Gareth and I were at a restaurant in Four Ways.
Yeah.
That'll be his beautiful memory of me.
I sweated big time there. I sweated tremendously.
Gareth had 2 chops, but I ate as much as I could and sweated a lot. I'm sorry he's dead.
Well, it was just so – it's so surreal and I'm just so shocked because he was only 51 years old. But the thing that nobody talks about, maybe people are it's still sensitive, they just won't talk about it, is for me, I sense medical incompetence. Like he went to hospital on a Saturday with cardiac issues. Why the fuck, and I don't like to swear, but why the hell did they discharge him on Monday? And like, why so soon? The doctors obviously screwed up, but nobody's saying that. Why am I the only one who says this?
Well, I also think usually people give a week for the family to come to terms with things before they start questioning the medical stuff. And I understand, like, you're the kind of person who wants to know why.
It just doesn't make sense.
I saw there were sexual harassment allegations against Greg Maloka over the weekend.
And then on that same weekend, I watched the movie Bombshell. So Greg Maloka, good timing.
Sexual harassment allegations and a whole slew of other things.
Well, the thing that struck me, because I'm thinking from a radio point of view, so if I'm the breakfast host of KFM, how do I start my show on Tuesday morning? Like, because I would joke about it. I would turn to my co-host and I'd say, hey, did Greg do anything with you?
Yeah.
But people don't do that, hey?
Right.
No, they don't share that exact sense of humor.
Instead, Kai FM made it all about Bob Mabena, but Bob Mabena left Kai FM a long time ago. But anyway, what can I say? The whole thing is just, It's just amazing how in this day and age, these alleged perpetrators, mm-hmm. they don't think they're going to get caught. And it's almost like an illness where they just can't help themselves. Am I wrong? They just can't help themselves and they just carry on?
First of all, I don't want to assume anything about this because we don't know the details. And I'm very suspicious. I'm equally suspicious of men who rush to defend themselves and of women who accuse men without any evidence. We've seen this happen so many times. It's being used as a weapon. This guy's a powerful guy in radio. I know Greg. I've met him once or twice. I wouldn't say that I know him well. But I have no idea of how he behaves around women. I've never seen him do anything inappropriate. And therefore, I'm going to make no conclusions. I'm going to jump to no conclusions on this. What I will say is that there seem to be an inordinate number of men in powerful positions throughout the history of humanity who have used those powerful positions to get sexual favors out of women. And if Greg is one of those people, he will be joining a long list of people who've done that in their lives. If he is innocent of these charges, if he's found not guilty of them, if nothing comes of it, it could just be a few people. In this case, there are some allegations. I don't know what the number is. It could be some people who are looking for a payday. And that wouldn't be so out of kilter either. That would be quite normal. We've seen a lot of that happen too. So I'm going to jump to no conclusions on this one.
Just for clarification purposes, the list that I saw, this letter that went out to the Kai FM team, et cetera, lists only one count of sexual harassment. And I think everyone is now talking about it and has spun it way out of, just what
this
it is.
That's why I'm nervous to say, this guy has a disease or it's a disease of men.
I was speaking in general.
Gotcha.
I was actually thinking about Roger Ailes because I just watched Bombshell.
Wow, how's that movie,
Well, I mean, my wife thought to him, what are you making such a big deal? I don't think it was such a good – I thought it was a good movie.
I thought Charlize did a really good job of playing Megyn Kelly.
Well, when the movie started, I thought, where's Charlize Theron? Is that Charlize?
Uh-huh. That's good acting,
That did not look like Charlize Theron.
Yeah, and Nicole, isn't that amazing? Nicole Kidman was very good as – what's her name? Greta –
Thunberg. Carlson.
Gretchen Carlson. That's right.
The thing is, the reason I suppose I really enjoyed the movie because it's a true story, based on a true story. And also when they go about all the characters and I'm familiar and I followed the news story. So then you'll enjoy the movie if that is your interest and you followed the story. Because for example, there was a scene right at the end with Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity, the guy who was playing Sean Hannity, was carrying a gun. And he had a gun tucked in his pants. And I just thought that was a nice touch, you know? Sean Hannity carries a gun? Little things like that.
MK says, I'm part of a study that's being done by Stellenbosch University that's going to take blood from us to see if we've got or asymptomatic COVID.
Oh.
So that's interesting because, again, there was a study published just last week about how only 20-25% of the population may be enough to give that population herd immunity.
Well, what are the Russians up to? They say they've got a vaccine.
So practical.
Vladimir Putin actually says he injected his own daughter with this vaccine that he
says. I don't think he did it himself, but yes.
Come on, Putin. The daughter that we never see or that you never talk about up until right now, it's a little too convenient for you.
Suddenly he's got a daughter.
Yeah. Suddenly she's useful to him.
Olga.
Damon is very manic this morning. I hope he only does 1 hour today. That is from that's from Adam.
Thank you, Adam. The thing is that so everyone is criticizing this vaccine. They haven't done the right studies or this or that. So what's going to happen with this vaccine? Is they just going to send it to Belarus? Is it not going to go any further? What's going to happen? Is it going to be the vaccine that gets ignored?
I don't know. I'm sure that there are people developing vaccines. But what's more important to me is yesterday we were talking about Sweden and the numbers there and how the deaths are almost at zero. It's like two people a day on a bad day. And someone, Pumi, brought up New Zealand. She said, oh, but New Zealand have got this great track record too. They've handled it well. Well, don't go, not so fast, because I predicted.
Not so fast.
I predicted yesterday, I said, New Zealand are an island. They can shut their borders. They can stop people from coming into the country. Well, they had 4 cases yesterday, and they've gone into complete lockdown again. So yes. Jacinda Ardern, who everybody thinks is the most wonderful leader in the world, she shat herself and suddenly declared they're going back into full lockdown. So
it doesn't get old, you pronouncing her name.
I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so yesterday. Yesterday. New Zealand is not immune to this thing. They have not handled it better. Lockdowns do not work. Full stop.
Lockdowns
one
do
more time,
not work.
Who is it?
Do not work.
And is it Jacinda Ardern?
Yeah. That's right. Jacinda Ardern.
There we go.
All right, then. Someone standing up for you, Damon. This is from Michelle. She says, let Damon say his piece and stop bullying him. I agree lockdown is bullshit, but I also think it's really important to acknowledge that this virus is not like any other disease and that no one knows the answers, not even you, Gareth. You still sound like a broken record. All right. Morning, guys. I'm from an informal settlement area. We see and face death every day, but no one actually acknowledges it. Ever since COVID-19 popped up, everyone's behaving like death is something new. 2 of my aunts were in contact with it, but they're recovering well and fast. And that is from Mr. Masoka.
Yeah, but Masoka, his aunts have always been strong ladies.
Stop, Damon.
his aunts are very strong ladies. I'll agree.
That Masoka gene.
I love Damon. He's entitled to his opinion, as is Gareth. The whole point of any lively podcast is to have different opinions. Please argue more. That's from Gabriella.
Well, you've got to be careful. You don't want to turn it into like a huge mishmash. Like a parliamentary session in Thailand. What happened recently? There was something where they start punching each other. You can't have chaos.
There's a lot of that, hey? there's quite a lot of this. I saw...
Taipei, I think.
Was it Uganda? Someone sent me a video. Oh, no. It was one of the Arab countries. I think it could have been the UAE. Guys started...
Don't remember.
Started smashing chairs over each other's heads. It was very entertaining.
Oh, what I saw from Nigeria was it was a parliament session.
Nigeria.
And a minister or someone was being called out. Yeah, they were being called out for some budget mishap and like some money went missing.
Yeah.
And the guy, the verdict is still out. The guy faked fainting.
Oh.
So when he was called to order and he had to justify, he just like slumped over in his chair and they were like, sir, can you explain yourself? And he goes,
wouldn't you love to see
he lifted out.
Wouldn't you love to see a fight in our parliament? Seriously, like a proper full-on fist fight.
Because we have, Gareth.
No, I mean now, because some of our MPs are so fat and so slow and so lazy that they wouldn't be able to duck from a punch. I mean, you'd just be
able who would you like to see up against each other?
Who would be a good combo? Maybe like, who I wouldn't mind? I wouldn't mind seeing Tulas Ngesi take on Floyd Shivambu. That would be a good battle because the two of them would really knock each other around a little bit. It would be interesting to watch.
Floyd looks like that guy in school who gives a lot of talk.
Yeah, he sits in the back of the class, yeah.
Like, you really want to take me on? Really want to do that?
Can I tell you something about Floyd Shivambu? And I'm sure many, many journalists will say I had the same experience.
Yeah.
In all the years that I was working in radio as a producer, I would phone a whole lot of people. He was definitely the rudest person on the phone that I've ever phoned in my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He does not know how to behave on a telephone.
Yeah, he's raised by wolves.
It's just unbelievable. You phone him and it's just a grunt.
Hey, Damon, here's an important question for you just before 7 o'clock. What was the outcome of the cyst removal on your back?
That particular cyst, it went dormant and it seems to be have dissipated.
It's under control, huh?
But then I had something, but funny you should ask.
Oh.
I had something else on my back last night that I noticed in the mirror. Yes. And it was quite large and it had a big yellow head.
Oh, Jesus.
And I couldn't reach it. So I got Bernice to squeeze it last night.
Ooh.
I gave her.
She likes doing that.
And she was so disappointed.
Oh, why?
She said, no, this is because only blood came out. So I actually, to be honest with you, I woke up this morning to go to the toilets at about 20 to 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I actually lay in bed. I actually couldn't get back to sleep because I'm actually starting to worry maybe I should go to a dermatologist and get myself seen to.
Hmm.
It's just that it's such a schlep. It's such a schlep to go to the doctor.
All right. Well,
who's that person who asked? I hope they're happy.
I hope they're happy because I was not excited to hear that answer. But there we go, Damon. At least at least you were giving us honest answers, as you always do. We'll talk some more with Damon Calvari, who, for those of you who are upset about this, are going to be very upset that he's with us for another hour. I'm thrilled. It's always good to catch up with Damon. So we will have more for you just after 7 o'clock this morning.
Let's try and keep it light.
Let's try and keep it light. Cliff Central.
Well, we'll try. But we can't promise.
CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning. CliffCentral.com.